Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Divide the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome back to another session of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. How you guys doing here? It's a brand new year, 2022. Certainly another opportunity to glorify and please God. Today's lesson has been titled Religion Without Relationship. And the reason that I chose this particular topic is conversations that I've had for years with individuals about relationships with God and about religion in particular. Today's show is going to focus on the extreme importance of having a relationship with God and how we can be led to the believing knowledge of God, that a knowledge of God is not the same as a relationship with God. Now, some of the content here may be offensive to some individuals, and you'll see what I'm talking about here as we go on. My position is to use Scripture to tell the truth of God's Word, not share personal sentiments, whatever they may be, about any person, place, or thing. The objective at Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth is working toward the understanding of Scripture and how it applies to our lives. I feel a little guilty even having to throw that in here, but when we talk about the things of God, we talk about the truths of God. And I want it always to be known that my personal opinion about something, whatever it may be, matters not. Remove me and the sound of my voice from this conversation, and let's focus on God's Word and see what God has to say about this particular subject. Our foundation scripture for today is going to be Genesis 3:1. And we're going to pick up where Satan confronts Eve concerning the commandments of God that he had given to Adam and his bride, that they could eat off of any tree in the garden. But they could not eat from the tree of life. And in Genesis 3:1, Satan says, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The missing word here is Lord. Because Lord establishes the covenant relationship between God and his people. If you leave out the word Lord, the only thing left is God. And God can be, as we well know, a number of things to a number of people and a number of religions. From my religion, the Christian religion, God, Christ, is Lord. Satan wants you to miss him by planting seeds of deception. And deception has consequences. It reduces a command to a question, which lessens the impact. Let me give you some examples here. Marriage, having sex before marriage. The Bible tells us that God created sex to be enjoyed within the boundaries of a covenant relationship between one man and one woman. Now, to reinforce this, I always use Scripture because I don't ever want anyone to ever think that I'm speaking from the breath of my own sentiments. I'm always talking within the confines, within the dictates of Scripture. Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage, verse 4, should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So God says, the marriage should be honored by all, and that the marriage bed should be kept pure. Man says it's okay to have sex outside of marriage, but practice safe sex. We even tell our children that. We tell our children the focus is not on waiting until you are married, that you might be in right standing with God's word, and that the marriage bed would be kept pure, and that God would, and not telling them that God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral, which having sex outside of marriage is sexually immoral, but yet instilled to go ahead and have this sex, but practice safe sex so you won't have any children. There's nothing further from the truth. Again, remember, we just talked about deception. These are the deceptions of the world. We're being deceived to believe that it's okay to practice, to have sex outside of marriage if we just practice safe sex. This is a lie of the evil one. Another example is performing unnatural sexual acts. Man's position is that mankind is free to live their lives as they see fit, as long as they aren't hurting anyone. I've had this conversation many, many times. Unfortunately, in the Christian community, homosexuality happens to be the biggest taboo with a capital T, where in reality is a lie is equivalent to unnatural sexual act. A lie is equivalent to murder. Any sin that is committed against God is, he's no respecter of sins. But we seem to focus on this and what scripture, as we'll see, calls unnatural act, like it carries more weight in God's kingdom. I'm going to read some scriptures here. I'm going to skip around. They're all from Romans 1. I'm going to skip around and not to put them together to try to make a case point, but yet and still just to, because I don't want things to get convoluted. I don't want the intricacies of scripture for those that may not be well versed in scripture to be able to confuse the point that's being made here. And our point is that God says that homosexuality is an unnatural act. In Romans 1 in the 18th chapter, the Bible says the wrath of God is being revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. So scripture is telling us, yes, we do know that there's a God. He said that to suppress the truth of their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them. Now, the scripture here further goes on to talk about the things that have been made that are seen. And we know and we can acknowledge that when we look into the heavens and we look into the skies, and if you're in a place where you have a perfectly illuminated light at night, you can see the heavens and the stars as far as your human eyes can see. And you just have to know. You have to know when you look at the beauty of the moon and you look at the wonders of the sun and the stars and the planets, and scientists tell us that there's galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies that we can't even imagine. God has allowed us in our scientific abilities and wisdom to be able to see certain galaxies. And as technology gets more and more advanced, we can see even further and further. But all of these things are the work of God. God says, because what may be known about him, not knowing him, It's plain because God has made it plain. God has made a way for man if they would just take a moment and step outside of themselves to know that there is, in fact, something that is greater than you. Now, what that something is what we'll talk about here today. Verse 21. Again, we're in Romans 1. For although they knew God, remember God said he's made it plain to man. He's not talking about intimately, but we know that he exists. For although they knew God, talking about mankind, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 24. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to have sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Verse 27. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with one another and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Now, even when I was a very young Christian, even before I can't necessarily say before I became a Christian because I read this and it didn't have the impact, the spiritual impact that it does now. But it's clear here that the Bible is saying that it is unnatural for women to be with one another. Verse 27 tells us that men abandoned natural relationships with women and were aflame with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men. And what is the penalty? And received in themselves the due penalty for their error. So for us to say that it's okay for homosexuality to exist, and we're okay to do what we want to as long as we aren't hurting anyone, is a lie. Now, I'm just talking to you as people. Now, you can raise up at me if you want to. I've read what I've read straight from Scripture, Hebrews 1. Read it for yourself. If any of you have any misunderstanding or lack of understanding, feel free to contact me. And we can talk about it. Feel free to contact anyone that you know that is a true child of God and talk with them about it. This is not me passing judgment on you. This is me telling you what the Lord Almighty says. And we can do with that what we will. We've had excuses. We make excuses. Over and over again. I mean, I've done it myself in error. The devil made me do it. The devil is, I've even prayed, God, Satan has made me. Satan is making me. Satan is oppressing me, which he may be, but that's not the same as making me. Satan can't make us sin. He makes us want to. He can't make us sin because he's defeated. Colossians 2:13 through 15 clearly makes that point for us. Let me break it down for you because it's a little hard to understand, especially exclusively without any relationship with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. God made you alive. Colossians 2, we're picking up on 13. We're reading 13 and 15. Paul's talking to the people of Colossae. God made you alive with Christ. God made you. He forgave us all of our sins. Verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let's break that down and unpack that a little bit. God made you alive with Christ as he made me. The gift of faith is faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2 tells us so. And in doing that, and making us alive with Christ, he forgave us of our sins. Christians are forgiven of their sins. He canceled the charge, verse 14 says, of our legal indebtedness. In other words, the Bible says that the wages of sin are death. God is pure, holy. And once we sinned against the Lord, back up in Genesis 3, and ate from a tree that God commanded us not to, instead of enjoying all of the other trees that were available, the law of God that the wages of sin are death were applicable to Adam and Eve. Now, they didn't die, drop dead immediately, but they experienced a spiritual death. They experienced no longer experienced eternity in their lives. Now we went from eternity to time, where we only had so many years to live. We were separated from God where now we didn't have the right relationship with God. You remember Adam and Eve heard God walking, and they hid after they had sinned against him. Why? Because they had relationship with the Lord. They knew the Lord. They spoke with the Lord. They heard the Lord coming. Adam, where are you? I hid because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not? They had relationship with God. So Satan can't make us sin according to Colossians 2:13 through 15. He's defeated. He's been disarmed according to verse 15. The power in verse 15, the powers and authorities that they're talking about are the evil powers and authorities that stand up against God. They had to stand by while Jesus died on the cross, received the penalties of all of the sins of mankind that we deserve. Power away. So since Satan can't impose sin on us, he starts messing with our minds. And his tactic is deceiving our thought patterns so that we begin to think differently than we ought to, so it becomes our decision, but which is influenced by him. He imposes his thoughts on our mind until it becomes our thought. So knowing this, in spite of what Flip Wilson says, we can't blame the devil anymore. You remember back in the days, I believe it was 70s, the Flip Wilson show, he was notorious and often dressed as a woman for the phrase, the devil made me do it. Well, please stop saying the devil made you do anything. Because if you're a child of God, the devil can't make you do anything, but he can certainly influence you. His strategy is now what it's always been. From back in Genesis 3, God's word can't be trusted. What did he ask Eve from the very beginning? Verse 1, 3:1 in Genesis. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. That's not what God said. God said you can eat of every tree in the garden. He said this one. Again, the missing element is Lord. So, for us, the Lordship of Christ can never be removed. Things are tricks and wiles of the devil. Romans 1, again, tells us that in verses 20 and 31, if you want to go back to it, that we know that God exists. Now, you're talking to the people in Rome, the believers in Rome, during those times. But God's word is applicable to mankind, period. Because we're beginning to learn, to have a relationship with God, to learn like you do your parents, to learn how he feels about things. He says in Romans 1 that we know that he exists. And then in spite of that, we have gone our own way. Excuse me. And there are consequences. Your consequences are because of this knowledge that God says that we do have of him. And, you know, most people admit, I believe in God. I believe that God exists. But for some people, God is a statue. They worship a statue. Some people, God is a figment of their imagination. It's nature. God is nature. For some people, God is a spirit, but an unidentified spirit that they have no relationship with. They just believe that God is a spirit. And for some people, they just believe altogether that God doesn't exist. The consequences is because of this knowledge, I say again, without relationship with the Lord, we have allowed the influences of Satan to infiltrate our mind and to subscribe to twisted truths, a couple of which I've just mentioned. Romans 3:4 tells us in verse 4, God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar. So since that we believe it is a God, if we don't classify the things that God has told us as truth, and that every man is a liar, then that means we've created our own law, our own philosophies, our own morals. And we've done that at the urgings of one that is, according to John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. This is Christ talking to the Pharisees who were so religious. But God said through John in verse 44, John 8, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer because he influenced them to murder Christ, even though it was God's plan. And he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. He has children. Satan has children. If you'll remember correctly, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's Ezekiel, or is it Isaiah? I'm sorry. I should have had my scriptures up. But just know that, and I'll put that scripture up in notes because I do apologize. But that one-third of the angels, Satan was kicked out, and one-third of the angels of the angelic host went with him. And what was Satan's chief problem? He didn't want to answer to God. He didn't want that type of relationship. And so it shows you that God never puppets any of his creation, his higher creation. He doesn't puppet the angels. They have the ability to decide to, like Adam and Eve did, to stand up against God and go their own way. But in this case, they were kicked out from the heavenly realm. One-third of the angels went with him. So yes, he is a father of lies. He has children. He gets our words out of order. Did God really say? He calls us, did God really say that homosexuality is sinful? If you just love on people and be a good person. Did God really say that it's okay to tell a lie? We're born sinners. Have you ever had to teach a child from a very young age to tell the truth? I mean, to tell a lie. You can catch your three-year-old after you've told him, Johnny, Jane, don't eat those cookies that I just baked. They're for dinner. You take your eyes off them for a moment, and what do you know? You catch them in the cookie jar. You ask them, Johnny, did you go in the cookies like I told you not to? They can have the cookie in their hand and cookie crumbs on their mouth. And they'll put the cookie behind their back. This is from experience, guys. No, they're lying. Where does a three-year-old learn to lie? Because the relationship with God has been severed because of the Adam and Eve issue. We have to teach our kids to tell the truth. He gets the words all out of order. You're not. You're not a bad person. You're not. You're not a liar. It was a little white lie. You're not. It's okay to be a homosexual. As long as you're not hurting anyone and you're doing good deeds in the community. It won't be that bad. You know that there's a God. You're okay. James 2, 19 through 20 will kind of cement this for us. God knew that how we would think. And so he left us something so that we can set the record straight. James 2, verse 19 says, thou believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. Verse 20, but don't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, if we have true saving faith, faith in the work of Christ, faith in the love of God, faith in the work of Christ that, as we just read, that our sins have been removed from us, for those who will confess the wonders of God. I'm in my home office here, and there's snowing actually in Georgia, so I guess there's accidents or whatever going on. So what James is telling me is just to know that there's a God is not enough. Romans 10:19 tells us, verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The relationship with God is born in our hearts. You've heard the saying, blame my head but not my heart. That saying implies good intentions that weren't carried out. People who profess knowing God but deny Jesus has established a religion in their heart that denies the power of Christ. There is no real relationship with God if we deny the work of his son on our behalf. James is simply telling us to believe that God exists is a character of the demons. There's actually no relationship. We can't have a relationship with God simply by acknowledging he exists. God always resists those who choose to be independent of him by the consequences of our actions. I pray to everybody listen and hear God's word. Thank you.